Greetings to each of you in the name of Jesus. We welcome each one of you to this service. May God be here in our midst through His Spirit as we look into the Word for encouragement, for challenges, for instruction for our lives. Yesterday afternoon, I went out and I spent a little bit of time in our garden. Our garden looks very good right now. It's growing well, it's nice and green. But there was some greenery there that I didn't want there. So I started pulling weeds in the potatoes. And our potatoes are nice, high potato plants right now. But the problem was that some of the weeds were as high or higher than the potato plants. And I was determined to get rid of those weeds. So I started pulling. And as all of you know, yesterday was kind of a warm, humid day. The sweat began to run down in my eyes. And the drudgery of the task started getting to me, and I started feeling sorry for myself, and I really wanted to quit. But the job wasn't done yet. And I tried, as I often do, to keep my back to what needed to be done yet and look at what I've accomplished. But every now and then I would turn around to see how far I had to go till I got to the end of the row, and it just didn't seem to get a whole lot closer very fast. I got sweated, I got dirty. And then to add insult to injury, it began to rain. My hands were dirty, and as the moisture got onto them, they got slippery, muddy, and it made it that much harder to grab a hold of the weeds and pull them out. And instead of pulling with one hand some of those big red roots, I had to grab a hold of with two hands to get enough of grip to pull them out. The message of the morning was going through my mind as I was doing that. And I had to wonder, if we as fathers are as determined to make the garden of our home as weed-free as what I was to make those potato rows weed-free. You know, sometimes the task isn't easy. Yes, there's greenery there, but is it the right greenery? Do we need to get rid of some of those weeds, some of those things that sap the energy out of our children and out of our own lives? Are we as anxious to get rid of them as what I was to get rid of those big old red roots in the garden yesterday? When things get tough, the task gets hard, and we're tempted to give up, do we give up? Do we decide that it's no use? Do we decide that we've tried, we've done our best, and we just can't go any further? And then when we think they can't get any worse, and they do, do we keep on going? And I'm not trying to uphold my commitment yesterday in the garden, but I did have to think, you know, we see the results of that in a fairly short time. You know, in a matter of an hour or so, I could see the results by looking down the potato row and seeing that there was only potato plants there. But you know, being a father isn't just a couple hours. It's years. And we as fathers need to be willing to stick to it. And yes, I'm going to speak to fathers this morning. But mothers, sisters, you are what God has placed on this earth to be a help meet for us. Young people, young men, I'm going to be speaking to you as well this morning because, God tarry, many of you may be fathers. And young sisters, you will be called to be a helper to those who are fathers. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And there's one verse here that I'm going to pull out of this chapter. And as I read over this chapter, I mean, this verse came to my mind early on as I was thinking of Father's Day. And I read over this chapter a couple times trying to decide whether I would be taking this verse out of context to use it in a Father's Day message this morning. This chapter, beginning of this book of 1 Corinthians, is talking to a church. It's talking to a group of people who Paul had a very deep desire to see go the right direction. And there was things within the church that weren't correct. And he was talking to them. He was preparing to speak to them about those things. But he was conveying to them his love and his desire for their well-being from his own heart. And in verse 15, he says this, "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." And as I thought about that verse, and I thought about the context that it was in, I questioned whether I should be using this verse as my text verse. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that it's not taking it out of context, because Paul is referring to the fatherly desire and the fatherly concern and the fatherly love that an individual has toward his own children and family. He's using that as an analogy and as a reference point for his love and his desire for the people at Corinth. And though this verse is in the context of a church setting, I would like to take it in the context of the home setting and look at it for us as fathers and see why Paul used this analogy to refer to his relationship with the church at Corinth. He says, "For though ye have 10,000 instructors." And as I did some study on that phrase, I began to realize that Paul isn't necessarily putting a number on the amount of people that have been instructing them, but he's saying an innumerable amount of people have been instructing and have been inputting into their lives. He doesn't say whether it's good or bad. And as I thought about that for a little bit, I realized that, you know, there's a lot of instruction coming into our homes. There's a lot of input being put into our homes. There's a lot of information coming into our family's life and into their experience. But you know, those instructions don't come from the heart and love and desire of a father. There may be a lot of good input into our homes. There may be a lot of good instruction. But the instructors that are giving that are not fathers. And the reason I say that is to impress upon each one of us, myself included, the importance and the vital position and influence that a father has in the home. Brother Josh talked about his father giving influence and direction and guidance into his life. And though he rejected that, there was other people that helped him to understand that his father wasn't as old-fashioned as he thought he was. And I well understand that, because I went through that phase in my life as well. But the influence that his father had on him was a reference point for all these other influences that came into his life. If he would not have had his father's influence, Brother Josh, if you would not have had your father's influence, would those other individuals have had as much input into your life? That's right. There was a basis, there was a foundation there that was built from babyhood on, that was used in his mind, in his life, as a guide to what these other people, or a reference point as to what these other people were speaking into his life. I think this morning that too many times we as fathers do not realize or recognize the importance that we play in the lives of our children. God has designed human beings in such a way that there is a connection and a need for connection with a father and a mother individual. And children who have not experienced that, whether it be a father or a mother, individuals who have been missing that, one or the other in their lives, you can tell that there is a missing link in their life, by what they do, by what they say, and many times by the way that they think. Because they have not had that influence from childhood up. That is why so many children that grow up in a single parent home have the struggles with relationships. They have struggles with submission. They have struggles with dealing with situations in their lives, because they do not have the male and the female input into their lives. That is a very critical part of the way God has designed us and the way God has made us. And I'm not going to get into all the statistics, because I don't have them here in front of me, of how many families are single parent homes in the United States today. But I do believe, brothers and sisters, that that is one of the reasons why we see the happenings in our world today. And I'm not excusing the mothers at all, but I think a lot of it lays on the shoulders of the fathers in the United States of America today. I looked in the dictionary at home. I just pulled it off the shelf and looked at what it says as a definition for a father. And I'll have to admit, I was slightly disappointed. Because all it said was, a man who has begotten a child. But then it went on to say that, you know, or one that takes the father figure. And then it talked about, you know, the way we use father as a founder of something, the father of the college, you know, or the founding fathers, which that terminology is getting challenged today as well. But it didn't talk about any responsibility further than having fathered or begotten a child. The Bible definition is far more weighty than that. The Bible uses the term father to refer to God. It uses it a few times in the Old Testament. If you look on the front of your bulletin, you'll see one of them. But it uses it over and over again in the New Testament. Jesus Christ refers to God as the Father many times over. And all you got to do is read through the Sermon on the Mount, and you see those mentions over and over again. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, he said you should pray this way: Our Father who art in heaven. We could use the fatherhood of God, the study of the fatherhood of God, as a guide to what we need to be like for fathers for our families. I'm not going to do that this morning. But I'd like to remind you that almost every man can sire a child. But it takes time, love, commitment, sacrifice, and maturity to raise one. And that's a father. That's the biblical definition of a father. One that not only begats a child, but one who raises a child and puts himself into it and realizes that that is his calling. There are many individuals, many men today, who want the pleasure of begatting a child, but they don't want the responsibility of raising one. Brothers and sisters, this morning, as people of God, we need to recognize that our responsibility goes much, much further than birth or conception. Those of us who are grandparents realize that our responsibility continues. So what is a father? And I'm not going to be turning to scripture verses this morning. There's many scripture verses we could turn to on each one of these points. I might mention a few of them, but I want you to do some studying on your own as well. But I've simply entitled the last part of this message, Attributes of a Father. And the first one is love. Brethren, we're men. We're strong. We're tough. We're independent. We're wise. We're able. And in the world today, A man that shows love is weak. But I want to remind you that love is not weakness. Love is strength, because love is giving of yourself for someone else. Love is a commitment. It's not just a fulfillment of lust like the world looks at it today. And I'm going to be bold enough to say that if you don't have love, you're not going to be able to fulfill the rest of the attributes that I have written down here for a father. Because if you don't love your wife, your children, it's very doubtful that you're going to have any desire or any understanding of the responsibility of being a father. Love needs to guide and temper and permeate everything we do as a father. It needs to be our motivation. If we're motivated by anger, if we're motivated by selfishness, if we're motivated by anything but love, we have the wrong motivation. And that love needs to be implanted in us by God through Jesus Christ. I don't find that love within myself to reach out to other people and to give myself to them and for them and to supply their needs outside of Jesus Christ. There are individuals maybe that would do that, but most times it's done for the selfish result of their own glory for what they've done. Brethren, as fathers, we don't look for glory for ourselves, but we look for glory for God and for Jesus Christ. And that is why we take the responsibility of a father, because first of all, it's our love to God. It needs to be our love to God that motivates us to do what we're called to do. And I'm going to use an old cliche here, but I know it's true. We talk about fathers. We talk about fathers showing love to their children. And the old saying is, the best way that you can show love to your children is by loving their mother. I challenge you on that. I was talking to a friend the other day, one that I just meet occasionally, and we were talking a little bit, and he was sharing how busy his life has been recently, and he was talking about getting ready for the weekend and all he has to do for the weekend, plans that they have and things they're going to be doing and where they're going to be going. And he asked about my weekend, and I said, well, it's going to be a busy one. We have this and that planned. And I said, I need to finished preparing for a message Sunday morning. I said, it's Father's Day, and I'm going to be speaking to the fathers. I said, I'm going to be preaching to myself. I said, in situations like this, you know, it's bad enough when you're sitting down there and the preacher's stepping on your toes, but when you're up here and the preacher steps on your toes, it becomes a little more personal. I wanted to tell you at the beginning of the message, and I failed to do that, that I'm not standing up here as one that has all the answers or is perfect in all of these things. But I stand up here to bring to you the Word of God. love. Love for God. Another attribute of Father is spiritual. You know, brethren, we have the responsibility of leading our family in spiritual things, teaching spiritual things, being an example of spiritual things. In other words, living spiritual things. And if we're going to do that, we need to be experiencing it ourselves. It is hard to portray or give to somebody something that you don't have. It is hard to be an example of something that you don't have within your life. You might be able to put up a front, but brethren, I want to tell you something, that a child doesn't have to be very old before they can see through that. I remember the first time my oldest son told me that, "But Dad, you're not doing that." It takes time, brethren. It takes some of our time to be spiritual ourselves. Sunday school lesson this morning was about studying the Word so that we can be ministers of the Word. It's necessary. You cannot be a spiritual father if you're not feeding your spiritual self. You cannot portray to your family the spiritual need. You cannot be a spiritual leader in your family if you don't have it within yourself. I know that because I've tried it too many times. When I lose out spiritually, when there's something between me and God, I have a hard time being the leader in my family. Right along with that goes stability and consistency, and that's the next one. Attributes of a father: stable and consistent. Not, and I'm not sure if this is a proper terminology, but not wishy-washy. I don't know if that's used anymore today. I know back when I was younger, that was, you know, a person was wishy-washy when they were pushed around and not didn't have stability. We may not be wishy-washy in belief, in practice, or in discipline. You know, sometimes a new thought comes along and we think it sounds pretty good and we jump to that path. And then we come up against the wall and we realize, oh, it wasn't so good after all. And then we come back to here and, oh, that, you know, this over here, this looks like the right way. And we go over that way and then we stumble across the rocks and boulders and, well, that wasn't the right way. And, brothers and sisters, in our homes, and I'm talking to the wives as well as the fathers here, in our homes, we need to search out the paths. We need to discern between right and wrong. We need to discern between biblical principles and reality versus influences from the world. And we need to chart a course that is stable and consistent. There may be times that we stumble. There will be times that we stumble. But in those times, it's important that we're willing to admit that we stumbled. And not only to our wives, but to our children. Admit to them that I made a wrong choice here. Ask for forgiveness and move on. A father needs to be approachable. Another attribute that a father needs to have. Life gets busy. We have a lot of stresses, a lot of things that need to be done. And we get busy in everyday life. And we come home from work, or we come in from the fields, or we come in from the barn, and all we want to do is kick back and just relax. And those of you who have little children realize that that's when the little children, daddy's around, and they want to climb up, and they want to talk, and they want to tell you about their day, and they want you to read them a story, and they want to cuddle with you, are you approachable? If you don't take the time when they're little, they're not going to come to you and expect to get time when they're bigger either. It's the seed that you plant in their heart when they're small, and you give them the time that they need. And fathers, we're not too big and too strong to sit down and read a story or play trucks and tractors or play Legos with our children. And you might even spend some time having a tea party with your girls, because they need you too. They need your time. Are you approachable? Now, I admit there's a fine line between being approachable and being a peer to our children. We are not their peers. We need to recognize that. We are not a peer to our children. We are not on the same level and age group and whatever all else goes along with being a peer. We as fathers are their leader. We're their director. We're their authority. We need to be able to differentiate between that. And sometimes that gets tough. And that is why the next attribute of a father is discipline. Because yes, we need to spend time with our children. We need to play with our children. We need to win their heart. And that's a cliche phrase that is used over and over again. But there's something to that. And in order to win our children's heart, we need to have time for them. We need to be approachable. But they also need to know that there's rules to be followed. And there's consequences when those rules aren't followed. We don't like the word disciplinarian, because it's equated with extreme actions. But disciplinarian, according to the dictionary, is a person who believes in or practices firm discipline. Doesn't say anything about radical. Doesn't say anything about unkind. It doesn't say anything about extreme. It just says firm discipline. And fathers, as much as we don't like to sometimes, as much as we don't like confrontation, as much as we don't like to do things that make our children unhappy, we need to practice firm discipline. Children need to learn at a very young age that there are consequences for disobedience. Children who don't learn that are at a disadvantage later in life. Because there will, if we don't do it in our homes, there will be areas where they will need to submit or suffer the consequences. And if they learn that at a young age and are held accountable to that, it'll make life so much easier for them. But I go right back to the first point, and that is love. If discipline is done out of love, it will not be extreme, and it will not be done in a way that is outside of God's plan. The thought pattern today is, because of the extreme of discipline that was used in years gone by, and the child abuse and the beatings, the thought pattern today is that you do it with words. As I was doing some research on this, I found many groups and organizations that would teach that a father practices tough love by his words. And I agree with that. There are times when that is sufficient, but the Bible gives us very strong direction in the fact that there is some more punishment that needs to be meted out sometimes, and that is the rod. And if we as fathers neglect that responsibility, and we as parents, if we neglect that responsibility, we're doing a disservice to our children. But it needs to be done out of love. We need to be correcting because we have the soul of that child in mind. We love that child. We don't want to see that child do things and grow up to be a person that is rebellious and is going to be suffering in hell in eternity because of their choices in life. We want to guide them and teach them the right way because we love them. Another attribute of fathers is caring and providing. And we have that responsibility. We're supposed to be the breadwinner. We're supposed to be the individual who brings home the paycheck or provides a roof over the head and clothing and a safe place to be. And you know, we as fathers in the Lancaster County culture probably have a very strong drive for this. But we can do well in this area. We can do very well in this area. We can provide our families with a beautiful house and the best clothing and fine food and entertainment and whatever all else goes with it that money can buy. But if we fail in the other areas, that will never suffice. That will never be worth it in years to come if love wasn't there, if spirituality wasn't there, if stability and consistency wasn't there, if approachability wasn't there, and if discipline wasn't there, all the finery of a home means nothing. We have the responsibility to provide. We have the responsibility to care for our family, to protect them. But we dare not allow that to become our main focus. A few weeks ago, my brother and I got together to go through the last remaining things that my father had. There was just a few items in my brother's garage. Everything else was gone. There was only a couple boxes of things there anymore. It was the things that he had with him when he was over at Fairmount in the home. Some items of clothes, a Bible, a couple other books, a tape player, CD player, a couple of CDs, a couple of tapes. Brethren, I ask you, when that's all that remains of our life, what will the testimony of our children be? Let's kneel for prayer.